introduce the other 150 who are not part of the original act. Shortly after those introductions, we will adjourn to the patio area for refreshments, and I presume, Mr. Bertram, by this time you have sent several battalions of people out to get more refreshments. And during that period in the patio, we hope that each of you will introduce yourselves to each of us. And after we have had a chance to become acquainted, arrangements have been made for some interesting guided tours of the campus, which are optional, of course. In fact, I don't think we have enough buses or other vehicles for this crowd. You see, we didn't have much courage with this operation. This was the first time that we had ever invited parents to come to such an occasion, and we really didn't expect more than 12 or 15. I thought most of the students were kind of like my sons and daughters, and I have two sons and two daughters, all of whom have gone to one or the other of a school by the name of Cal Poly. And several times I have suggested visiting the campus with them, and for some reason or other they said, "No, Dad, we're not interested in having you visit us." Now, the chairman of the committee, which planned today's activity, asked that I take a few moments of time to tell you about three things. What is Week of Welcome, or WOW, all about? And two, what constitutes the system of higher education in California? And what is Cal Poly's special place in this system of higher education? First, let me tell you what WOW is all about. WOW means Week of Welcome, and although getting acquainted with a new environment such as a college campus extends beyond 1 week, we concentrate a great deal of this orientation process into 7 days. At this moment, about 150 selected upper-class student counselors are having their last training sessions, and at 3 o'clock, your new student or students will become a member of a WOW club, 30 new students and 3 upper-class counselors. We have learned that the small group arrangement is very effective in new student orientation, and we have planned a number of meaningful activities for the 65 WOW clubs that will soon be in evidence over the campus. In addition to programs in which every student will participate, there are special programs for married students, for men and women, for foreign students, for freshmen, and for new students who have transferred from another college. Tonight we have scheduled 2 speakers, one for freshmen and one for transfer students, on the topic Invitation to Thought. Following these talks, WOW clubs will have group meetings to discuss the main points of the speakers. Tomorrow and through the rest of the week, WOW clubs and your sons and daughters will meet with our counseling staff to interpret tests that were taken during the summer, hear talks, and participate in discussions on how to succeed in college, not without half trying, however, tour the campus and library, learn how to arrange their academic schedules, meet their faculty advisors, hear the dean of their school, register, purchase books and supplies, and be hosted in their particular academic department. They will also become involved in a number of planned social activities, many of them through WOW clubs. They will get to know the 3 upperclassmen and 29 other new students in their WOW club personally, and members of other WOW clubs too. There will be lunches together, dances, movies, recreation, a watermelon feed, a beach party, even a climb to the Pea on the Hill. Now, we put that last item in there to make sure that no parents stayed over and tried to become a member of a WOW club. And it all ends with church night, a week from today, the night before classes start. 14 of San Luis Obispo's 22 churches participate in this effort to make religion relevant to student life, and our students have arranged free transportation to any church in San Luis Obispo that night. Welcome Week officially ends and WOW clubs dissolve in 7 days, but the friendships linger on for years. We hope that the many experiences your sons and daughters will be having here today and in the many days to come will help them in making thoughtful decisions about who their friends shall be, how they shall spend their leisure hours, and what goals they shall set for themselves as they live today while preparing for the future. And now let me tell you about the second topic, the system of higher education in California. Frequently I am asked questions which indicate some confusion exists as to whether Cal Poly is a state college or a campus of the University of California, whether the state colleges and university campuses are all under the Board of Regents, and whether the governor is treating them all equally, whether private colleges have higher admission standards, etc. Let me try to explain in summary fashion the barest details of the four segments which constitute what in the 1960 Master Plan for Higher Education in California was called the System for Higher Education. The segments include 80 junior colleges, 18 state colleges, 9 campuses of the University of California, and 70 private colleges and universities. At the present time, enrollment is distributed among these segments about as follows. Junior colleges, 250,000. State colleges, 190,000. University of California, 100,000. Private colleges, 50,000. A total of 590,000 students. The master plan in 1960 estimated that the percentage distribution of enrollments among the segments by 1975 would be about 40% in junior colleges, 30% in state colleges, 20% in the University of California, and 10% in the private colleges and universities. A total enrollment in 1975 of about 700,000. The one agency which pulls all of the segments of the system of higher education together in California is the Coordinating Council, established by the legislature in 1961. Its members represent the junior colleges, state colleges, university, and the private colleges, plus the public. While it has only recommending authority, it reviews the budgets of the public institutions, their expansion plans, especially proposals for new campuses or for specialized curricula. Its recommendations on such matters to the governor, to the legislature, and to the governing bodies of the four segments, or the segments of the public institutions, I should say, constitute a very powerful influence on all matters relating to long-range planning and coordination. Now, the junior colleges are governed by their respective local boards. The private colleges are, of course, each independently administered. The University of California is administered by a Board of Regents, which has authority under the state constitution. The state colleges are administered by the trustees, which, in accordance with the Education Code, consists of 21 members, 16 appointed by the governor for 8-year terms. 4 members are elected officials, the governor, the lieutenant governor, the speaker of the assembly, and the state superintendent of public instruction. The 5th ex officio member is the chancellor of the state college system, who is appointed by the trustees. Now, admission standards are regulated for the University of California so that it can admit the top 1/8 of the high school graduates of the state. The state colleges can admit the top 1/3 of the high school graduates. The junior colleges must admit all high school graduates. Entrance standards for the private colleges vary widely. Very few are more restrictive scholastically than the University of California, and most are not as restrictive scholastically as the state colleges. The 18 California state colleges, with 190,000 students, comprise the largest and the fastest growing system of higher education under one administration in the Western world. By 1975, the state colleges will have 22 campuses. Total enrollment by that date, 1975, will have reached an estimated 250,000. Cal Poly's enrollment this year will be about 8,300, with 10,000 expected by 1971 and 12,000 expected by 1975. It is estimated that California's population will have reached 25 million by 1975 and more than half that number will be under 25 years of age. Perhaps 2 million or more will be in the college age-going bracket, and half of those, or 1 million, are likely to be seeking some type of post-high school education. State colleges offer in-depth training for careers in many professions and occupations, including teaching. The oldest of the state colleges, San Jose, was founded 105 years ago as a state normal school, exclusively training teachers. 10 of the state colleges were established since 1947. Now let me tell you something about Cal Poly's place in this system of higher education. Cal Poly is one of the oldest colleges in the state college system, but it does not have a heritage as a normal school or teacher's college. Cal Poly was founded in 1901 by an act of the legislature as a statewide polytechnic school. As California's needs changed, Cal Poly raised the level of instruction from 2-year to 3-year technical college status, emphasizing occupational training in agriculture and industry. Originally coeducational, Cal Poly discontinued the enrollment of women students for a period of 27 years, from 1929 to 1956. That is the height of discrimination. In 1940, the State Board of Education authorized the college to grant the Bachelor of Science for completion of the 4-year curriculum. The first class to receive BS degrees was in 1942. The post-war return of veterans saw Cal Poly's enrollment soar rapidly from a pre-war high of less than 700 students to approximately 3,000 in 1947. The 20 years intervening has seen a healthy year-by-year increase until our present expected fall enrollment of 8,300. In the same period, our teaching staff has grown until we have approximately 450 faculty members. Our facilities likewise have expanded to keep pace with the enrollment growth, and we are still expanding, as you obviously noted when you couldn't get by on the road out there. Frequently I am asked, what is the most significant difference between Cal Poly and other state colleges in California? It's easy to say that the most important difference is our emphasis on the applied fields of agriculture, engineering, business, home economics, together with the closely related supporting fields of the physical sciences, natural sciences, and mathematics. This statement is true. We do emphasize these fields. It is also true that we have the oldest and largest agricultural program in the state, and in size and excellence of instruction in agriculture, it stands at the top with such famous universities as Michigan State and Iowa State. We were the first of the state colleges to have any departments of engineering, and our engineering school is today one of the largest in undergraduate enrollment in the West, and some of the top engineering and industrial firms in the nation come here first in their search for graduates. But this still does not account for the success of the fine programs in the social sciences, English and speech, education, physical education, journalism, technical arts, etc. For years, we have been seeking men and women for our faculty who wanted to devote themselves primarily to teaching in the classroom and laboratory. Our faculty members are promoted to our highest ranks because of their excellence as teachers. Many of our faculty do important research, publish in professional journals, write textbooks, help industry as consultants, but everyone teaches, and we have a good student-teacher relationship. That makes Cal Poly an environment where people work together, sharing in the learning experience. Each curricula at Cal Poly was designed to provide educational experiences which industry, rather than graduate schools, have deemed essential. Laboratory experiences and field work are emphasized in all programs with constant interplay between general principles and practical application. We use a system involving the student in courses in the field of his major interest, concurrently with courses in supporting disciplines and general education. You may have sometimes heard of the expression, the upside down program at Cal Poly. It never was really upside down, but it was so much different than most institutions that those who felt that it was different felt that it was upside down. We have noted with some great interest that some very important institutions throughout the country are copying the so-called upside-down system, and we think maybe it might catch on after another 50 years or so. Educational institutions don't move too rapidly on innovative materials. While we believe our purposefully designed curricula and our constantly updated courses are part of what makes the difference at Cal Poly, we must admit there is something that happens that is hard to explain. Our graduates, employers of our graduates, parents of our graduates, visitors who are familiar with other colleges tell us repeatedly that this campus is a healthy, friendly, constructive environment which seems to nurture good citizenship as well as academic and technical capability. We have a strong co-curricular program of activities which our student leaders work hard to make certain includes opportunities for everyone to practice leadership as well as followership. Each of the instructional schools has a student council. Every instructional department has a student club, the membership of which is open to all students in that department. There are many special interest and hobby groups which are not directly affiliated with the instructional segments of the college, but which are an integral part of the co-curricular program. Each on-campus residence hall has its own student government unit and social group. And of course, the student body has several important councils which operate cooperatively with other segments of the total college to provide experience in constructive community living. I was pleased last spring to receive from Assemblyman William Ketchum a framed copy of a joint resolution passed by the legislature commending Cal Poly student body for its use of appropriate procedures and bringing to the attention of the legislature the opinion of our students on a number of controversial issues. The student government had sponsored campus elections to determine democratically the opinion of students towards some of the issues which other campuses seem to use as the cause for wild demonstrations. The state legislature expressed in that resolution its appreciation for the attitude shown by our students and their willingness to use the machinery of a political democracy to express both the will of the majority and the relative position of the minority. We are proud of our students at Cal Poly. Their good conduct and their good citizenship as students and their career accomplishments in later years as alumni members have given this college a good reputation. The faculty, the non-academic staff, and administrators are dedicated to the concept that we are all here to provide the best possible educational experience for our students. Some students may wish that things could be better than they are. Any proposal that shows good promise of making Cal Poly better than it is will be given serious consideration. If your sons or daughters complain to you about something at Cal Poly not being as good as it should be, ask them if they have figured out a way to improve the situation and have they made their suggestion known to the appropriate people. I might make an aside here because the thing that most students who go away from home for the first time complain about is the food in the cafeteria. Now, I want the mothers to understand that you would be real pleased to eat in the cafeteria yourself, but this is just an expression of love and affection of your child trying to raise your morale by having you realize how much better things are at home. Now, actually, watch out for the little accidental Freudian slips that will happen when they come home for vacation. And this has happened at our house, and one of the boys will be sitting there, and he'll say, "Mother, why don't you fix zucchini squash like Jack Bertram does?" Well, this is a kind of a low blow, but it can happen. At Cal Poly, students are expected to play an active role along with faculty, staff, and administrators in the decision-making process. In order to make this expectation of student involvement in the process more actual and less theoretical, we have invited student body officers and student body representatives to serve regularly on key administrative decision-making bodies. We have the processes for dealing democratically with most problems which may arise. We are confident that our new students will join our older students in developing on this campus a better model for a political democracy than that which we frequently observe in operation beyond the boundaries of our campus. Now, we are pleased that all of you took the time today to come, and now I would like to introduce the members of our staff who are here to answer questions which you may have. Now, each of these individuals has a key responsibilities for areas of our operations about which parents and students frequently have questions. After the introductions, they will all go to the patio area, where each will stand near a sign which identifies his area of responsibility. And I thought hard about how to reword that sentence to indicate that they had all volunteered for this assignment, and I couldn't quite make it come out, but I'm sure that you will understand that this is strictly a voluntary effort and that nobody was coerced to come here on Sunday except me. Let me introduce first, and they're not in any order up here, I see, but and so I can't introduce them in the order of their importance or by alphabetical. I'll just introduce them the way I have them on my list. So if you think there's any order to this, forget it. Dean Everett Chandler, the Dean of Students. Dean J. Cordner Gibson, the Acting Dean of the School of Agriculture. We're missing one. One fella did take it seriously. We'll have to straighten him out about the democratic process. Well, the man I would have introduced, had he volunteered to come today, would have been Dean Carl Cummins, Dean of the School of Applied Arts. I'm sure he's forgotten all about it and is sound asleep someplace. And Dean Clyde Fisher, Dean of the School of Applied Sciences. And Dean R.A. Higdon, Dean of the School of Engineering. Dean Higdon is as new to this institution almost as are your freshmen. He just left the Air Force Academy in Denver, where he's had a long and very fine career as an administrator and teacher, and is coming here to help us with our engineering program. Dr. Lorraine Howard, Dean of Women. Mr. Harry Strauss, College Librarian. Dr. Billy Mounts, Head of the Health Services, the Health Center. This is where everybody goes when they want to meet everybody else. We have another man who took this voluntary business seriously. Eugene Rittenhouse. Oh, pardon me, pardon me. Mary Shaw, please stand. At least he was Ronnie's toes and he got a replacement, didn't he? Mr. Bob Bostrom, counseling, residence halls counseling. We call it counseling, don't we? Yes. Bob Bostrom and I have our little jokes. One time, just to make sure that you know how this works, I have an office of an administration building that kind of looks out across all kinds of things, and I see all kinds of things happening on the campus, and I shouldn't. I ought to keep those blinds drawn, I think. But one day I saw some students having a water fight on the balcony of one of the dormitories, and I wasn't concerned about them having the water fight, but it looked to me they were chasing each other down the steps and there was water all over the steps, and I was really afraid somebody was going to slip and fall down and break their back. So I called Bostrom and told him he better get over there, we're having a water fight. And he got over there and he straightened them out, he kicked them all out of school, and among them was several students who were very close friends of my daughter and so on and so forth. And it was all reported that there was a spy on the fourth floor of the administration building who spent all his time watching out the window for students. and Dr. Joyce Stone, Counseling and Testing. Mr. C. Paul Winter, Associate Dean of Admissions and Records. Mrs. Mary Eilers, Financial Aids. And Dr. John Lawson, Student Activities, Associate Dean of Student Activities. And Mr. Lloyd Bertram, Food Services. And we left Mr. Bertram, we left Mr. Bertram for last because we figured that we ought to put in a few words about those refreshments. We are going to have refreshments out there. There are going to be enough refreshments. That's good. Pretty big crowd. You don't know how far that crowd goes out there. They're probably winding across the street. Well, now, what time were we supposed to go out for refreshments? Anybody know? 1:40? This is not part of the program, but if anybody has any questions they would like to ask of anyone except myself, I will be happy to have them answer. It's entirely possible that you might have some question that we could answer now, although the intent of this meeting is to go out and have some refreshments, and then these people will voluntarily stand by that sign, and you'll be able to go up and talk to them. Would anyone like to have an opportunity at the mic, you know? There's always a great opportunity. You got a captive audience here. Dr. Lawson, come on. You don't have to relay it to me.
I just wanted to be sure that you would remember that we do have some special tours following the experience outside.
Is that a happening?
Whatever that may become. Dr. Mounce would like to take any of you who would like to go through the health center to see our facilities following that. Mr. Bertram would be glad to take you over to the cafeteria and show you where it came from. Mr. Strauss, our librarian, would be glad to walk you down to the library and show you through our fine library. Mr. Bostrom will have a residence hall available to take you through. And Mrs. Shaw would be glad to show you our placement center where many of our students find their jobs.
We may now gather out. If there are no questions, we may now gather outside at the patio. Please walk carefully and don't fall down.
Would Mr. and Mrs. Robert Poor please meet the theater manager in his office in the foyer?